This morning, God's word comes to us from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, and we'll be reading just the verses 19 through 25 of this chapter. Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 19, what we hear now is God's word. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith and with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we are moving forward in our series of sermons on the church. And you remember, kids, last week I gave you a picture of the church, and I'm pretty sure there are more copies of that picture in the back. So if you need one before the worship service, you can pick one up. Otherwise, just stick it in your Bible, and you can pull it out and take a look at it. That picture of a church with the number 3 on it. And we said when we think of church, we think of 3, because church starts with the letter C, and that's the third letter of the alphabet. But so many things about the church are related or come in threes. We talked about the name of the church. It is one holy Catholic church, and what each of those things mean. And then on that picture next to the church was a large mop. And we talked about how mop relates to church, because mop is spelled M-O-P, and in our sermon series, we're going to talk about the marks of the church and the offices of the church and the purposes of the church, and 3 in each of those categories. We talked last time about the primary mark of the church, the pure preaching of the gospel. And if the gospel is not present in the preaching of the church, no matter what the building looks like, no matter what the sign out front says, if the gospel is not present, it is not a church. That is the first mark of the church. This morning we're going to talk about the second mark of the church. And again, I told you last time, I'm just not, making these things up. These come from one of our confessions. Again, from Belgic Confession 28. We believe that we ought to discern diligently and very carefully by the Word of God what is the true church. The true church can be recognized if it has the following marks. The church engages in the pure preaching of the gospel. It makes use of the pure administration of the sacraments as Christ instituted them. The pure administration of the sacraments. So the first mark of the church is preaching, and the second mark of the church is sacraments. And in our church, as instituted by Christ, we celebrate 2 sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. These sacraments given to us to be a blessing for the people of God and a blessing for his church. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. When we talk about the sacraments, the first thing we have to remind ourselves is that sacraments are given to us by God. The sacraments are not something that I came up with. They're not something that the elders came up with. They are not of human invention. God himself gave the sacraments to his church. It is one of the things that makes the church the church. And since they are given to us by God, then we must do them as God has commanded us. In the Catechism, it describes the sacraments as holy signs and seals. They are holy, given to us by God himself. They are not an option for the church. The sacraments need to be administered. We think of baptism, and when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." That was not an option for the church. They were to go, they were to make disciples, and they were to baptize them. Baptism is not an option for us. The Lord's Supper, Jesus himself said, "Do this. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, to be sure, he did not tell them how often to do this. But if the Lord's Supper is never observed, if it is never practiced, we have to ask ourselves, is this really a church? Baptism and the Lord's Supper are holy sacraments given to us by God and must be part of the church's ministry. Now, I think there's often a challenge when it comes to seeing the place of these holy sacraments properly. One challenge is to make the sacraments too insignificant. And to think that, you know, we are free to kind of do them as we feel. We're free to change them if we want. I remember a magazine article, this is from years and years ago, magazine article in a Christian magazine, and the point of the article was, when we come to the Lord's Supper, why can't we use pizza and root beer? Why can't we use pizza and root beer for the Lord's Supper? And the very simple answer is, those aren't the elements that Christ gave us. We are to do these things as God has instructed us. It's easy to make the sacraments too insignificant, feeling like we can play with them and do what we want with them. But perhaps the other challenge, and maybe more of a challenge, is to make the sacraments too significant. Now, how do you make a holy sign and seal too significant? We do that when we forget that the sacraments are an accompaniment to the Word of God. The Word of God is the primary means of grace. The preaching of the gospel is the first mark of the church. And we may not allow the sacraments to rival that position. Remember when I was growing up, we were hardly ever allowed to stay home from church if we were sick. I mean, we had to be on our deathbed before mom or dad would let us stay home from church. But if it was Lord's Supper Sunday, you could have one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel, and you would still have to go to church. We would not stay home on Lord's Supper Sunday because it was Lord's Supper. It's important to keep the proper balance. The ministry of the Word is the primary means of grace. And we must beware of an unhealthy sacramentalism, whereby we elevate the sacraments to the place where we say, you know, if they're missing, we really haven't gone to church yet today. Now, if the gospel is missing, we could say that. So just beware. Beware of making these holy signs and seals either too insignificant or too significant. They are holy, given to us by God. They are signs. Kids, that means they're a picture of something. The sacraments are signs. They're a picture. Maybe if you go on a car trip up to San Francisco, you see signs along the way. San Francisco this way. San Francisco this way. Now, the sign isn't San Francisco, but the sign is a pointer to San Francisco. It's a pointer to what's really there. San Francisco really exists. It's really up the road. It really exists, but the sign points us that way. That's what sacraments are like. They are signs. They point us to something that is absolutely real, a spiritual reality. We read in verse 22 of our text, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." A picture of the reality that takes place in baptism. Our hearts are sprinkled clean. We are washed in the water of baptism. Now, the water of baptism only goes on the outside, doesn't get into our heart. It's not the reality, but it's a picture of the reality, and we can trust the picture. It was given to us by God. We know that just as surely as water washes us externally, so I am washed by the blood and spirit of Christ when I am baptized into that name. When we come to the Lord's table, it is a picture of a reality. Verse 19, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, we have this great priest over the house of God." In the supper, we have a picture of a reality. It is just bread and wine. It remains just bread and wine, but it's a picture of the body and blood of Christ, a pointer to a reality that just as I am strengthened physically by bread and wine, so Christ by his Spirit strengthens me spiritually when I come to the table. The sacraments are pictures, they're signs for us, and they're seals. What do we mean when we say the sacrament is a seal? It means it's a promise that it's true. A seal is a promise that it's true. If you go into my office, you can see on my wall, I have my diploma from Westminster Seminary, and on that diploma is a seal. It's a seal that says, this really, really came from the seminary. He actually, amazingly, some might say, graduated from seminary. I didn't just go to Kinko's and print that thing up. Okay, there's a seal that says it's real. It's authentic. In the sacraments, we have a guarantee of the promise of God. That promise is absolutely trustworthy. When God says he will wash away all of our sins and he pictures that washing in baptism, we can be sure that Christ, by faith, does wash away all of our sins really. When we come to the Lord's table and we see the picture of the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ, we can be sure Christ does feed us spiritually. The promise is real. The promise is true as we come to the table. These sacraments are of divine origin, holy signs and seals for us to see. And they are given They are given to the church. We are the ones who are the recipients of these signs and seals. Now, we've talked before about distinguishing between the church as institution and the church as individuals. The sacraments are not given to the church as individuals, but they are given to the church as institution, to the body of Christ. And that's why they take place when we gather for worship. I was talking with someone a little while ago who had a fairly informal view of the giving of the sacraments to the church, and he says, you know, I'm the father in my home, and as father and a believer, a part of the church, I have the authority to baptize my own child. I said, no, that misunderstands the nature of the sacraments and to whom they were given. They were not given to individuals. They were given to the church as institution, as the body of Christ. And we have to remember that. That's part of the blessing of gathering together, is we gather and we can participate in, administer the sacraments. Maybe sometime you've been away with your family on a weekend and you're having a great time together as a family, and then on Sunday morning you gather together and you listen to a sermon that you brought along, and somebody says, hey, you know, why don't we just celebrate the Lord's Supper too? Because we're all believers, we're all Christians here. The supper was not given to the church as individuals. It was given to the church and to be administered in the gathered body of Christ. Our author says, therefore, brothers, this term referring to the churches, the church, oftentimes in the New Testament, the brothers, the sisters, the church as organism, as organization. The church as this body of Christ. Now, to be sure, when we see a baptism is a wonderful blessing for the family of the one being baptized. But really, the family who is celebrating is the family of God. We see one of our children coming to the baptismal font. That's a celebration for this family. Baptism given to believers and to their children, a reminder that our children are a part of God's covenant, and they are members of this church, this family of God. Kids, I hope you remember that. You are members of this church. You are not potential members of this church. You will not become members later. You, if you are baptized, are right now a member of this church. Now, to be sure, there'll be certain privileges you will have as you mature in the faith. It's the same way in a family. In the family, when our children are little, they have very few privileges. As they grow, they have more privileges. The same is true in the family of God. As our children grow, they will then later have the privilege of coming to the Lord's table by profession of faith. These are blessings, more blessings they will experience, but they don't become more of a member when they profess their faith. Children, right now, you are members of this church, and you have the benefits and the blessings appropriate to where you are in the family of God. When we come to the Lord's Supper, it is for those in the church, for those who are connected with the body of Christ, which is why, when we have Lord's Supper Sunday, our elders are in the back talking with visitors. And if you are a member of a church that is a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church, we welcome you to come to the table. But it's not simply for individual Christians. It's for those who have submitted themselves to the yoke of Christ. And that includes submitting themselves to His appointed office bearers, to His church. We cannot claim to love Christ and have no need for His church, have no need for His body. That's one of the blessings, that's part of the importance of becoming a member in the church, because the sacraments were given to the church as institution,
It is for those who then embrace all the promises made to them in their baptism and come and dine at the Lord's table. It is a blessingness, a blessed for us to come. And God gives us these sacraments to help us in our faith. God gives us the sacraments to strengthen us in our walk with Him. I've used the term before, and I use it in my catechism class. The sacraments are like God's visual aids. They serve the ministry of the Word. They picture the truth that we hear every Sunday about the washing away of our sins, about God strengthening us through His Word and by His Spirit. The sacraments picture that. They are God's appointed drama in worship. If you want drama in worship, come to the sacraments. Here we see pointers and promises of an eternal reality. That is drama. That is dramatic. We know that in God's providence, preaching produces faith in the hearts where the Holy Spirit's active, and the sacraments strengthen that faith then, encouraging us in our walk with God. When you wonder, does God really forgive me for all of my sins? And we see a baptism, and we're reminded of the washing with water and the washing away, the cleansing of our hearts, as our text speaks of. And we're reminded, yes, it's true. God really does wash away all of our sins. That's the glorious call of the gospel, to come to Jesus Christ and to know that truth for yourself. That God in Christ has done everything necessary to cleanse you from all of your sin. He calls you to embrace Him by faith, to become part of His body, the church, and know the blessing of coming to these glorious sacraments to strengthen us in our faith. When we're feeling weak in our walk with the Lord, when we're feeling like God is far from us, we come to His table, and once again, we taste, we touch, we see these elements reminding us of the reality of the promise, and God strengthens us in our faith by Christ through His Holy Spirit. They are a blessing for us, and they are given to us to help us in our walk with God. They help us in our walk that we might be a blessing to others. Our text says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." We get strong so we can help others become strong. We get strong so we can be a blessing to them, speaking words of encouragement from God's Word and reminding each other that our God is absolutely faithful. That's verse 23. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." The sacraments are a visible reminder of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness to His promise to wash away all of our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. God's faithfulness to His promise to walk with us, strengthening us every day by His Spirit as we take and eat the body and blood of Christ. God is faithful to His Word. He allows us to hear that Word proclaimed Lord's Day after Lord's Day, and He gives us these visible signs and seals to see. Things we can taste, things we can touch, things we can look at, and things that He uses then by His Spirit to strengthen us in our walk with Him as the body of Christ. The second mark of the church, the pure administration of the sacraments. These glorious gifts from God. In the preaching of the Word, we have the declaration of the Word. In the sacraments, we have the demonstration of the Word laid out before us. May God continue to use His chosen instruments, holy signs and seals for us to see. to encourage us in our faith and our walk with Him. Let's join together in prayer.
Lord our God, we thank You, we praise You, for You are a God who knows us. You are a God who loves us. You, O God, give us the preaching of Your word Lord's Day after Lord's Day, but You know our weakness, You know our frailty, that we desire to see something, to taste something, to touch something. And so beyond that glorious ministry of the Word, Lord God, You give us the sacraments instituted by Christ Himself and given to His body, the church. Lord God, may we never take these things for granted. May we not see them as something insignificant, something optional, but help us to receive these gifts from You. And would You use them, O God, in our hearts, in our lives, to encourage us, to strengthen us, and to bless us as You minister the grace of Christ through them. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.